Welcome everyone, Nate from Userlytics here, and in today's episode we have two of my esteemed colleagues from the SRP, the Salt River Project team, with us today to give us a little bit of background on their journey into UX, how they've helped enable UX in their companies. And so Lindsay and Taylor, I'm very excited to speak with you both today.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Well, Taylor, I want to start with you. I think always a great introduction to the show, just to learn a little bit about, you know, who you are, a little bit about your role on the team, and then Lindsay will go with you next.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you again for having us. So as Nate mentioned, I'm Taylor Brass, and I'm a UX researcher at the Salt River Project, and we're a not-for-profit water and power company in Central Arizona. And in my current role, I conduct a bit of mixed methods research to improve customer-facing products where Arizona residents can pay their energy bills or they can explore energy efficiency programs. And a little bit about my background is I have both a bachelor's and a master's degree in user experience from ASU, and I studied everything from interaction design to front-end development to human systems engineering and UX strategy. And before I came to SRP, I was a UX designer in a few different industries, including healthcare, tech, and sustainability. But I'll pass it over to Lindsay.
Thanks. I'm Lindsay Ocampo. I'm a senior ERP analyst at SRP. I recently just transitioned into this role. I was a UX researcher for the past 9 years. That's really my expertise. But I've been at SRP for about 14 years. I have a Bachelor of Science in Business Management from ASU and an MBA from Grand Canyon. My experience is a little bit different from Taylor's in that I don't have any of my formal education in UX. I got to learn all of my skills on the job, which was really exciting. There was an individual on our team who was a really great friend and mentor to me that kind of taught me all the skills that I needed to know for UX. I got some formal coursework throughout that. So it's been a really exciting place to learn UX. People don't think of their utility as very UX focused. So in our role as UX researchers, we really have the opportunity to make an impact for people when they might not think about us at all.
Well, I appreciate you both going through that. Again, I think a really cool kind of dichotomy of experiences and the journey to get to where you're at and to be into the UX space. Taylor, I want to learn from you first, right? Because you went through kind of a formal education, as you might say, of UX. And obviously, as we come to the end of the school year, a lot of people moving into potentially going into UX programs. Others maybe just leaving their recent current program, let's say at a school they were at. And so I want to hear from you kind of what that experience was, kind of getting that kind of formal UX education and kind of how that helped you, as you would say, to move into maybe a career in UX.
Yeah, definitely. So studying user experience at ASU, it gave me a really strong foundation in the entire UX discipline. So you didn't just learn research or design or technical writing. They touched on all aspects. And like most UXers, I didn't really know about user experience before. I originally was a computer science major, and slowly along the way, I realized I didn't like back-end coding. I liked more of the information architecture, and then that led into liking, why do users click certain buttons? Why does certain verbiage attract them or certain colors? And so around that time, my mom, who's been in the UX field for over 20 years, encouraged me to look more into user experience, and ASU had a program. So I got both my bachelor's and my master's, and what I really appreciated was how interdisciplinary the program was. They had you touch on front-end development, web design. They even did some game development or photography. And while they don't seem like they all connect, all of these pieces have to work with each other in order to create a great user experience. So it was really nice that I got to take those classes because it gave me a really well-rounded idea of what different teams do, how cross-functional teams have to work together. And then as I graduated, I wanted to learn more about research methods and take a bit of a deeper dive into the methodologies that we use and really get into user experience. So then I did my master's program and I was exposed to everything from UX design, human-computer interaction, research, and technical writing. And yeah, I have nothing but great things to say about my education in UX.
Well, I love to hear that. I know that a lot of times some people can come out of their, college education programs and be like, maybe this didn't prepare me for exactly what I thought it was going to be in the real world. So I'm interested for you in that experience of kind of getting into your first UX role. Did you feel like really well prepared? Was there a lot you needed to like learn on the job? And then again, I'll be interested in kind of that dichotomy with Lindsay, your experience, and maybe a little later.
Yeah. So there were a few differences between academic UX and UX in business. I feel like a lot of the technical skills translated really well. So creating personas, some of the research methodologies. But one of the biggest differences I noticed was the pace and the process. So in school, you're taught to follow a very methodical structure. So you start with research, then you go into personas, interviews, mock-ups, and then full testing cycles. And while you're in a class, you have the time and the space to do that. And you can look at an entire product holistically. But in business, you don't always have that luxury. Companies move really fast, and you're expected to prioritize the work that's going to make the biggest impact with the resources and the time that you have. And so I think that while research still really matters in both aspects, you have to learn to be a bit more efficient, strategic, or adaptable.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. Well, it seems like you've been successful in the role, so I love to hear that as well. Lindsay, your journey sounds a little bit like my own, right? And my college education wasn't necessarily related to really anything around UX or user experience, but was kind of drawn to it. I'm interested to learn from you, hearing kind of Taylor and her experience and you having come into your own experience with UX, what kind of initially drew you into it? And kind of how was that experience, attempting a new field as you go into your business group?
Yeah, so the funniest part is that I started at SRP as an intern. When I was an intern, I was supporting our large commercial customers. So again, nothing to do with UX. And then when I got hired, we had a customer experience team at the time that did more quantitative or qualitative, sorry, qualitative research. So that's when UX kind of started to make its name at SRP. I gravitate towards UX because I think it's something people can easily relate to. We've all been through bad experiences that are so frustrating. And I love that in the UX role, you have the opportunity to make less bad experiences for people. So it was kind of just a natural progression for me. Like I said, I had someone on the team that was a really good mentor. She was really knowledgeable in UX and she was passionate about it. So that passion kind of translated to me. We collaborated on a ton of projects together, and it was something that I just, felt like it was natural for me and I loved doing.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Always really important to have that good mentor role as you kind of progress in really any role. I do think it's funny because that was my experience as well, as I didn't really like ever hear about the term UX or UI or design or anything like that. But as soon as I got into the field, I was like, oh, I deal with this every day, and I know all about this. So kind of an interesting thing that I think a lot of people, when they first come into UX, it's like, I don't know what this is, but actually I really do know what it is. Taylor, I want to kick it back to you and hear a little bit about the challenges, right? So again, formal education, the school prepared you well, and you had like a good, I would say, foundation for UX. And now you get into, the professional field, and there's deadlines and there's expectations. What were some of the challenges that you specifically faced? And maybe if you can, maybe any ways that you overcame them.
Yeah. So transitioning from education to a professional UX role came with a big learning curve. So one of the biggest challenges was adjusting to the fact that you're a part of a much bigger system. You're not just in a classroom with everybody who is also studying user experience or knows the same methodologies as you. You're collaborating across so many different teams including research, design, development, and then business teams. And everyone has different priorities. And it also shifts depending on the company that you're at and which groups they have. Sometimes research and design are together. Sometimes they're separate. And then the amount of collaboration between those teams varies so much. So that was definitely a learning curve. And in school, you present your findings and it's assumed that they're going to be used. You do all this research, you go into all this theory and you explain it, and then the project is done. Whereas in business, you have to be a little bit more strategic about how you communicate your findings and that you actually make sure they're actionable and they help to influence decisions. So you have to understand the goals of your business partners in order to tailor your recommendations so that it actually helps them. And you have to stay connected with the designers and developers, check feasibility, and really talk to them throughout the entire process. You're not just doing a project and then handing it off to them. You have to incorporate them throughout the entire thing so that they know what's going on. And while I won't go too deep into this because I know that Lindsay's going to touch on it more, I just want to say that in business, building really strong relationships with your team and stakeholders is key to making sure that your research doesn't just sit unused and it actually drives change. So learning to align your UX goals with the broader business goals was definitely a learning area for me when I first made the transition.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you made a really good point there, right? Sometimes we have the expectation that the other team members are going to understand what we know intimately as we, you know, go through our different like deep research projects. So Taylor, hoping you could give us just a quick tip, right? So let's imagine someone's kind of in your situation, right? They're coming from formal background and education, and now we go into the business workplace, right? Obviously, it's going to be a different experience. What's like one good tip that you could give someone who's kind of going into the messy world of business where things are not outlined, like maybe in an education program?
Yeah, definitely. So my best advice is to stay adaptable and curious. UX is broad and it's constantly evolving, and you don't need to know everything on day one. So what matters is your ability to stay user-centered, ask thoughtful questions, and work collaboratively. So invest in your soft skills, so communication, storytelling, and collaboration, because these are just as important as your technical skills. You could be an amazing researcher and you could come up with this data that's gonna change the entire business. But if you don't know how to present it to your stakeholders in a way that they can understand it, it's of no use. So just, it's about working with others to uncover the user's needs and make meaningful changes. And I think a lot of new UXers are nervous to talk on the skills that they have when they go into a job. They feel like they're new and they're supposed to be learning. But companies actually want you to elaborate and to tell them about what you've learned in schools, because there's so much of what you learned is grounded in methods and best practices. And so don't be afraid to advocate for them, even if you're just starting out. Companies always want to know about these, and you can bring a fresh perspective.
I think it's so good, and I really kind of appreciate the insight, Taylor. Lindsay, I want to throw one your way as well, because again, lots of other people who are going into the UX journey with a similar path that you took, right? So maybe I'm doing a different role, interested in UX, or the company has a need there, and I'm transitioned to that role. If there's any advice you could give to someone, I know the mentor one was a very good one, of how to be successful in kind of a new role, new UX type role that they might find themselves in.
Honestly, the advice I always give to people is go shadow others at your company or connect with other UXers in the space that you can learn from. Especially if you're trying to break into a UX role. I know right now, especially, it's a really tough field to get into, but I think you leave a memorable impression with people when you take the initiative to ask them about their job that you're interested in and learn the skills they have, how they started, all of that. So that's really my tip, especially as someone who didn't come from, you know, a formal education background. I showed the initiative that I was interested and learn from those around me.
Yeah, I love that as well. I think it really rounds out kind of the whole topic around, right, moving into the UX space, But let's talk about now being a little bit more in the UX space. Maybe someone's joined a company where it's much more business focused, right? Maybe the business stakeholders aren't as focused on UX. It's just maybe not something that's top of mind or that they're even aware of. Lindsay, we were chatting a little bit beforehand and you had kind of mentioned that that there was a whole like process that helped kind of evangelize UX across SRP and the team. So I'm interested if you could maybe just describe the role kind of advocating for UX in like a really like business focused environment.
Sure. I think at SRP, we are lucky because as Taylor mentioned, we are a not-for-profit public utility, meaning we don't have shareholders or investors that we have to answer to. Really, who we're answering to is our customers. Any money that's made by the business is invested back into the business. So for that reason, SRP has always been extremely deeply customer focused. So that's why I say it's a little bit unique, because selling UX and evangelizing it within our company hasn't been as hard of a sell as it would be at some other places. So I just want to point that out. But again, we've always been very customer focused. We've always been very research focused as well. So I would say in 2016 is when I remember UX really taking off. We did a big project where we were redesigning our customer portal. So where customers log in to pay their bill, check their usage, all of that. That was the first project, I feel like, where we deeply embedded customer feedback throughout the whole process. We A/B tested all of the mockups. We prototype tested. We did a beta site with employees before the site went live. And then afterwards, we were measuring the results so we could see pre and post how that made an impact on our users. And I would say within 6 months, we saw a pretty significant increase in customer sat. So because we had that, you know, tangible thing to show the business, I feel like that's the project that really helped us be like, look, this works. And so when we were starting to evangelize UX throughout SRP, we always came back to that example and we had proof to show that it worked. And it was less work afterwards when the site went live because we weren't cleaning up a bunch of stuff. You know, users could easily pay their bill, log in and do what they were intending to do. So that's kind of the process we went through and, you know, how deeply customer focused SRP really is.
Yeah, I like the example because I'm totally bought in on the idea that results speak, right? So we can talk about UX till everyone's blue in the face, right? But being able to show proof of like, here's what we did and here's the result, I think that's really key. So it's a great point there. One of the things that Taylor had mentioned like a little bit ago in terms of like her advice to people would be like building those relationships with stakeholders, because that kind of, let's say, bridges the gap. I'm wondering kind of maybe what your approach was. I mean, again, I think the example of having proof is super important, but even with proof, right, there has to be a little bit of a relationship there to make it land. So kind of wondering how that approach went for you and what was successful about it.
Yeah, I would say making sure that you're helping stakeholders meet their business goals is always going to help establish a relationship with those people. In our case as well, we've learned that being proactive with other groups around the organization and asking, hey, what upcoming projects do you have? Tell us about those. And that kind of lets us insert ourselves and say, here's how we can help you. Again, letting them know that you are there to help them meet their goals. That's an easy sell for everyone. Also, our research team is kind of unique in that we have traditional market researchers that do more quantitative research, and then there's the UX side as well. So as a team, we're often talking about what research projects we're working on, what some of the objectives of those projects are. And so that allows us as a team to help establish new relationships. So if one of the other team members is like, I'm working on this project, the problem is XYZ, a lot of times the UX researcher can be like, hey, I think we can help with UX research. Can you introduce us to that business partner and help establish that relationship? So I think that's another way we build relationships throughout the company as well.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I'm interested in hearing maybe some of the challenges that you face. And then after Taylor, I want to ask you a little bit about like the importance of stakeholder buy-in for UX success. But before I do that, Lindsay, I want to stick with you really quick. If I don't know if you maybe have like any examples of something like specific that was a challenge, right? Trying to build that trust with people who aren't familiar with it, maybe don't think it's so important before they've actually seen those results. And so I'm interested to hear your thoughts there, Lindsay.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for us has been, as I mentioned before, SRP has always been really big on customer research, but it was more so quantitative, traditional market research. So when we were first starting this UX journey, we were introducing methodologies that the business hadn't really been exposed to. You know, with usability tests, typically it's a very small sample size, 5 to 6 users, you get 80% of your results. So that was scary for our business. And we had to learn how to translate that into a bigger package that they resonate with. So one of the ways we did that was we would use our UX research methodologies, but then we would bring in other insights like competitive market intelligence. We know our customers are comparing us to like Amazon or any other experiences that they have with other brands. So how can we use what other brands are doing and translate that into the project we're working on? And then we'd also typically have a third party do a heuristic eval or give best practice insights. So we'd use like a Gartner, and then we would take all of those findings to the business for whatever project we were working on and present it in that manner. So it was like, hey, you know, we've done the research with customers. Yes, it's a smaller sample size, but that's okay. We also have best practices from other industries, but also best practices from other experts in the field. And I think that really helped us overcome that challenge of building credibility and trust with our business partners.
Yeah, so funny. I know that very often, right, when business stakeholders, right, people who are used to more like large statistical models and things, they see like a, you know, a much lower quantity, you know, qualitative study, right? And they're like, oh, well, how can you really be so sure? So I think that's kind of an interesting dynamic that a lot of UX researchers deal with. Taylor, just like I promised, I want to kick it over back to you. You know, I'm interested, you know, again, as you've kind of made your way into the business field, you know, from your perspective, why is it so important to get buy-in from stakeholders for UX success, you know, versus the UX team just going and doing their job, handing it off? Like, why is it important to have that mix and the buy-in from the rest of the team from your perspective?
Yeah, I think it's really important because if you just conduct research and then it goes and sits in a backlog, basically all of the work that you did, it's not getting used. The whole point of conducting user research is to better understand your customers and then take those insights and then implement it into the product to help create a better experience for them. And I think one of the things that I learned was that you have to clearly measure your outcomes. So in school, it's about the theories and it's about making sure you're doing everything properly and you're going step by step, whereas in business they're more focused on KPIs and conversion rates. And like Lindsay said, with SRP we're not really fighting to have more customers. It's just if they live in that specific area then they are our customers, so we get to really focus on the customer experience. And so I think driving the point home that this research is just going to improve the experience and make people more happy with SRP is a part of that driving force. And having a continuous relationship and constantly bringing stakeholders into the process makes them feel like they're a part of the project or they have some sort of stake in it. So a lot of times I'll do a stakeholder workshop while we're brainstorming ideas or we're trying to figure out where we want to pinpoint the research. And I'll also work with the quantitative side because we can look at where there's drop-offs happening and then we can take those drop-offs. Talk to the stakeholders and say, hey, what do you think? What do you know about the customers already? What are you looking to do with the product? And then we work together in a collaborative sense. And I think the more brains, the better. So that's kind of the approach that I take when it comes to doing research, and it's really helped me so far.
I would also say our leadership has been really supportive in that, they don't want us doing research unless our stakeholders are going to take action on it. So that's helped build buy-in as well. And that's come, from it's been a message coming from top down. So that took some time to build, but I do think it's been really helpful. When people ask for research, it's more likely that they are going to act on it.
Yeah, well, it sounds like SRP is very industry leading in UX. I think it's interesting because when you ask just a random, like say you randomly ask someone like on the street, like, hey, what do you think about UX and user experience? They're going to mention things like, the iPhone, Apple, they're going to mention things like Amazon, right? So not a lot of people are thinking utility company when they think of like wonderful user experiences. So I think it's really cool just in general, like what the team is doing and that you guys are so bought in. Taylor, I want to come back to you really quick on just a quick question, right? So when we think about, translating these UX principles, right? Because we have a lot of lingo in UX, and that's like lingo that we all know internally, but maybe hard to translate to business value. I think a lot of researchers kind of get lost in just overwhelming their stakeholders with kind of details and things. So maybe you could talk a little bit about kind of taking UX principles, making that into digestible business value, and maybe a little bit of how you guys do that.
Definitely. So, a lot of times, researchers, they're so in the weeds with the data that they want to share everything that they did. And sometimes we feel like, in order to get buy-in, we have to explain all the processes that we used and why this data is reliable. But stakeholders don't necessarily need all the details. They need clear, actionable takeaways rather than overwhelming them with theory or processes. I highlight how addressing specific user pain points will directly benefit the business and help aid them in their goals. And I think this approach really ensures that research and design is seen as an essential investment. So, one example I like to give is it's not enough to say that users struggle with navigation. Instead, you want to say, if we move the navigation to the top of the screen, we can reduce drop-off by 40%. So you're shifting the conversation from UX being a nice to have to UX being a clear driver of business success. Because if you do this specific thing that is actionable, you're going to get this result.
Yeah, I love the articulation. Lindsay, you've had a pretty tenured career in UX so far. When you kind of think about, again, one of the things that can be difficult is that we sometimes as UX researchers want our business stakeholders to participate in the research. And while that's really valuable, if we can get them to do that, it's very unlikely that they're going to have the time or the want to do that. So I'm wondering from your, experience at SRP, have you ever been able to pull in business stakeholders to real research, maybe as an observer, or maybe to just, view a session themselves? Or do you think it's actually better to just pull out what they need and give them that versus have them actually participate? I'm wondering kind of, your experience there.
I think it depends. I think you have to know your business and know how people are going to react. So, we do sometimes let people in on the research. We've done focus groups where, we have some people from the business either watching from a room online or when we used to do them in person a long time ago, they were behind, a glass wall. But that in that situation, it was fine. If we're doing like moderated usability tests, I typically don't like to have someone from the business in the session with us. I think it often intimidates the user as well. So we try to keep as little people in the session as possible. we really try to involve the business upfront. So if we're designing the discussion guide or just the project plan, making sure we're all aligned on what the objectives are and what we really need to get to in the study, that seemed to be okay. Again, I think it depends. You have to know your business, but if people want to be involved, that's great. I would also recommend letting them watch a recording. If you don't want them in the session, give them the opportunity to, you know, review the sessions and get their own insights.
Yeah, I love the answer. I think in most things in life, the answer is going to be it depends, right? Or it depends on the context. So I think that's completely fair. I want to kind of wrap this up here as we're getting close to our time with just some tips. You know, let's say someone's been listening in, maybe they're, you know, fresher in UX or they've been in it for a while and they're loving what they're hearing so far from you both. Taylor, question from you. When we had spoken before, you had kind of talked about like one of the really influential ways to kind of establish yourself as a UX or a researcher is to, and you use the term become a strategic partner. Can you talk to the audience a little bit about what that means to be a strategic partner and what's that all about?
Yeah, definitely. So I think one of the ways to become influential as a UX researcher is to position yourself as a strategic partner, as you said. So you're almost like an internal resource for the company. So you're proactively offering insights. So you're networking with other business partners, learning about what projects they're working on, and trying to find areas of opportunity where research could help benefit them and their goals. And you try to identify gaps and show that we're not just here to take requests, but we're here to help shape the direction. And a lot of times I think people or business partners don't think about research. Everything is so fast paced. They're just trying to get everything done in time. And so we have to be that voice and we have to try and advocate for research and why we think it's necessary. So one of the things that we've done at SRP is we make it clear that we have an inventory of past research that others can reference, because we've been doing this for so many years. We have so many studies. You don't always need a new user interview that takes 8 weeks in order to do the research. You can look at previous research that we've done that kind of follows a similar path and then use that to help inform your decisions. And this helps to improve, I think, risk and improves outcomes. And again, just building strong cross-functional relationships is really, really key. So getting close with those business partners and learning about what they're working on and figuring out how UX research fits into the broader business strategy and how we can help them.
Yeah, I think it's so good. I mean, people in the UX space, right, we're focused on our research. We get into the weeds, right, and we live there in it. But one of the things you mentioned, right, is kind of taking a step back, seeing the bigger picture. Lindsay, again, one of the terms you had used before that really stuck out for me was staying curious and kind of just all about that curiosity mindset. And I want to hear from you again, just a little bit of elaboration on what it means to stay curious as a UX researcher and kind of how it's been successful for you in your career.
Yeah, I think especially since I didn't come from a formal UX background, I really can't be complacent in research methodologies. I feel like stuff is changing all the time, especially with AI. Like, you really need to stay curious, connect with people, learn how they're leveraging their skills, doing new things. I feel like that's just going to help anyone if they're trying to break into the field, but also, again, build relationships with people throughout the business. If you can learn something new and then figure out how you can apply it to a project within and show that to other people, they're going to see value in that and, you know, think of you for other projects. So I think staying curious is so key.
Well, I just appreciate both of your time today. It's been insightful for me. I always feel like when I jump into these, these episodes, I come out learning a whole bunch. And again, I just love what the SRP team is doing over there. And again, especially even as a utility company, someone who maybe is not forced to find new customers, right? Just being able to focus on them is so key. And so I love kind of the overall mindset from the team. As we wrap up here today, again, maybe someone's listening in. They're like, oh, Taylor, I would love to chat with you as I'm coming out of college or something like that. Someone who found something you said relevant. Taylor, where can people who are listening find you and connect with you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to connect and to answer any questions or swap ideas with UXers. And then I also have a portfolio website, which is www.taylorbrass.com. So it's just my name, and there's a way to contact me through there as well. But yeah, I'm always happy to help and chat about UX. I love mentoring.
Yeah, very cool. And obviously we'll link some of the different links to, you know, LinkedIn and stuff like that in the post so that everyone can find you. Lindsay, I'll throw the same to you. Someone who's interested in, you know, hearing more about your experience or just connecting with you, where can they find you?
I would say same thing. LinkedIn's probably the best channel to connect with me on. Just look me up, Lindsay Ocampo. I don't think there's a ton of Lindsay Ocampos, but I could be wrong.
Awesome. Well, again, can't thank you both enough. Hope that we get a chat again soon. But if we don't, I hope you have a great weekend. And I hope the listeners enjoyed everything that they heard from you both.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you again.
Analytics tells you what. Userlytics tells you why.